High on Football podcast. It's Wednesday night or Thursday morning, probably, if you're listening. And we have survived Bradygate 2013. The injury, the blood, the death, the carnage, all those things that surrounded Tom Brady and his non-injured knee. Obviously, I'm kidding. He's fine. We will talk about that. We talk about the Bills starting Kevin Cobb, Geno Smith's brutal day, Le'Veon Bell's ascension to the top of the depth chart, Von Miller getting arrested, picking a really, really good damn day to get arrested, Hard Knocks from Tuesday night, Jared Veldheer's injury, J.J. Watt, and much, much more. I am Will Brinson. Ryan Wilson, what's up, man?
Glad Brady's okay. Actually, I was thinking about this. Remember in 2008,
yeah,
when Bernard Pollard blew up his knee in the first week of the regular season. So he was Brady was lost for the year, had to turn to Matt Cassel. That team won 11 games. They missed the playoffs, but they went 11-5. I think that a Brady-less team in 2013, which doesn't look to be the case, at least not because of Adrian Claiborne. Ryan Mallett leads that team to at least 11 wins, doesn't he?
11? I think
Matt Cassel did that. That's what I'm saying. Matt Cassel did it in 08. He won 11 games. Now, they had Welker. They had Randy Moss. They had the most explosive offense ever coming off that 07 season.
Yeah.
But Ryan Mallett is 4.2 times better than...
That's the interesting thing about it is when, you know, people say now, they're like, well, they had Matt Cassel back him up. Well, no. When Brady went down and Matt Cassel had to take over, I was like, this team is effed. I mean, like Matt Cassel won't win one game because he's Matt Cassel. He hadn't started a game since high school.
Right.
And he stepped in and he was capable, and that's how he got that contract and that trade with the Chiefs. I mean,
how he got that contract was because...
Scott Pioli.
Yeah.
But it was a sign. Wasn't it a sign and trade? They franchised him in sign and trade.
Yeah, but that's because Pioli, I don't know what he was smoking or, you know, what was going on. But no one else outside of – because Pioli was at Kansas City at that time. I can't imagine any other general manager.
No, Pioli left New England after 2008, right? Pioli left, got hired by Kansas City, then engineered the trade.
That's right. Yeah, no.
Right after – like his first move after getting hired was basically saying Matt Cassel is my franchise quarterback.
Right, and the best part of that thing was he included Mike Vrabel in that trade, which actually made more sense than paying.
Yeah.
Eventually paying Matt Cassel all that money and giving up a second round pick to get him.
Yeah, now Matt Cassel.
By the way, Pioli, I don't know if he does drugs or not. That was a joke. Just before someone gets your panties in a bunch.
Yeah, easy, Peter King.
<That's right. laughs> Was he drunk?
Well, and in fairness, I mean, I don't know if Bernie Kosar had his issues, but whatever. Yeah, PK got apologized for that. Whatever. So anyway, I don't think the Patriots would win 11 games.
Not with Ryan Mallett and that lack of offense.
No, I think you're looking at a situation. You don't have Randy Moss. You don't have Welker.
Amendola, Julian Edelman.
Shane Vereen's going to be good this year.
Yeah, Shane Vereen can only play one position at a time.
That's true.
You're throwing the ball, and Ryan Mallett's it's a passer. Matt Cassel was more mobile, so there was that element to his game.
Yeah.
But maybe that means Ryan Mallett / Tim Tebow.
God. I know. Okay, well, that's the good thing. Like, I mean, seriously, I mean, aren't you – isn't everybody happier when Tom Brady's not hurt? Even as a Steelers fan?
Absolutely. Yeah, I like to – I'm fine with yelling at guys and wishing bad things on them as long as they stay healthy. Like, I'm fine with the guy taking a big hit as long as he gets up and, you know. Getting burned – in the confines of a game. But, yeah, you don't want anyone to get injured. I'm glad that...
Yeah, yeah. I only pull for, like, blown ACLs in the most extreme circumstances. I won't mention those. You know, family football games. Flag football games. So, yeah, I mean, I think there was probably... I'll set it at 2.5 hours where I was pretty convinced Tom Brady was going to miss the entire year.
Didn't help that... An economist from – I can't remember who.
Oh, my God. Bloomberg.
The Bloomberg. He's literally a macroeconomist. This guy sends out a tweet that says Tom Brady report Tom Brady's torn his ACL. And I think he also mentioned the MCL. And then after he gets harangued on Twitter because he knows nothing about sports and he for some reason decides to tweet about Tom Brady's ACL and MCL, he points out that, oh, this is a link from 2008. I was wrong to link that, tweet that out.
It was the order it went in. I was trying to, do you remember what is, guy's?
In McDonald or something. I'm not sure.
I can't find it either. But so, I mean, he tweets out, he's like, sources say, it just, Tom Brady has torn his MCL and ACL.
And he tweeted out the link a few tweets later. If you read the link, you get down to word 50 in the story. It says in the week one game against the Kansas City Chiefs right. in 2008.
But then the guy in his second tweet, he says it was like ESPN reports that blah, 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 blah. And it's in quotes and then it says dash Bloomberg. Like Bloomberg is quoting an ESPN report. Then he tweets out what you're talking about. He tweets out a link that says, look, yeah, Tom Brady did tear his ACL MCL. You can tell it's really old. And then he follows up with a link to an ESPN article from 2008. As I mean, how does this guy – how is he allowed on the internet?
I don't understand what he's doing. And it's I don't mind people making mistakes, but it's infuriating to me that someone, whether he's in sports or not in sports, is tweeting
– How does this guy have a job?
Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Fans get pissed at us all the time for stuff like this, which you know, I've done plenty of silly stuff, but nothing in terms of this frustrating. But it's equally as frustrating for us too. So whatever. What else? Let's talk about.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Brady's gonna be
so
fine.
Brady's fine. I mean,
what do you talk about? What happened to Adrian Claiborne?
Yeah. So Claiborne was. Yeah, we don't need to spend 45 minutes talking about Bloomberg. Claiborne's pushing back on Nate Solder. I guess it's crazy to think. You think about
this. Let's set this up first. There was a joint practice between the Bucs
and we should note everybody's seen the video because you know it's been running on TV all day. But the fan has the video, and this is I think when it really escalated. Let's talk about that for a second too. Is so he was like, oh, nobody saw what happened. All of a sudden, like 50 beat writers were watching the throw to see where it landed, weren't watching the quarterback. They turn around. Tom Brady's down. He's limping. He's laying on the ground. He limps off. So that's coming through Twitter. Everybody's like, that doesn't seem good. And then all of a sudden, this video pops up. And this guy, this fan, you know, was taking the video, wisely posted onto the internet and tweets it out. It gets, you know, starts getting out there in the Twitter vortex. And it's you can see it. And from the angle, he's got it. I mean, it looks like Brady gets swallowed up into this pile and then rolls out to the side, gripping his left knee. It looked really bad, I thought.
It didn't look good, that's for sure. And, you know, then there was all the conspiracy theories about where was Bob Kraft, the owner, going? Where was Brady going? Brady went into the bubble, Bob
and
Kraft.
And then a helicopter shows up.
Oh, guys, insane. But, yeah, so Adrian Claiborne was the defensive end for the Buccaneers. I don't know I wasn't particularly paying attention to him. He got pushed by Nate Solder.
No. He bull rushed Nate Solder. Uh-huh. Solder kind of fell back, and Claiborne kept pushing, which is what you know you do.
But you know they. You know this is probably we saw this on Tuesday night on Hard Knocks. Just don't get near the quarterback is the.
But remember, it's obviously a joint practice. It's a different.
You still don't want to cream.
It's a different. It's a different mentality, though. I mean, I know it's practice, but you're going against a you know competition. Like you're not just going against your offensive lineman. You're going against an opposing offensive lineman.
Well, let's just say that Adrian Claiborne got off lucky.
Yes, because if Tom Brady is done for the year, he is being hunted in New England. And I posted
some
of his tweets.
I should say that, you know.
No, Nate Solder is in trouble.
Bernard Pollard could probably give Adrian Claiborne some advice. I don't think anyone was bothering Bernard Pollard after he exploded Brady's knee back in 2008.
That's right. So, Twitter wasn't around, really.
Yeah, well, there were still plenty of tough guys, but no one was that tough.
That's right. I don't blame Claiborne at all. I mean, he was doing his job. You know, if you're Solder and you're the Pats, you're not happy about it, and you might mention it the next time, like, hey, if you get the bull rush on, just you know, ease up. You got it. You win. No need to keep pushing back and create a scrum with our, you know, multi-million-dollar franchise quarterback, please.
And, you know, there was some conversation somewhere that Greg Schiano, the head coach of the Bucs, would again be accused of being dirty because if you remember last year, at the end of the Giants game, when the Giants were taking a knee, he had the defensive line just bull rush the offensive line. And there could have been a possibility of hurting Eli Manning. But aren't Chiana and Bill Belichick boys?
They're like BFFs. I mean.
So I wonder how that conversation went.
And I saw Greg Bedard of formerly the Boston Globe, now the MMQB.com, tweeting pictures. It was like Rutgers. He was just like hanging out with a bunch of Rutgers guys. I don't know why he wasn't tweeting about Brady, but whatever. You know, and like they have like Rutgers connections, I think, and you know Belichick's always drafting Rutgers guys. They get along well. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So you're not sold on a situation where Ryan Mallett wins 11 games, but whatever the win total is with Ryan Mallett, assuming Tom Brady for whatever reason didn't play, they're still winning that division, right?
Yeah, I think so. That division stinks.
Yeah, I know you're not big on the picking the Dolphins, but what about the Bills? Let's transition to that.
Yeah, Kevin Cobb is going to start. Why is it Cobb anyway? It should be Kolb. Kevin Cobb is going to start the preseason game on Friday, I believe, which is fine. EJ Manuel was good, but he was captain check down for most of the game. I have to go back and really watch that more. He did all right in the 2 minute warning or 2 minute drive, I think, but he didn't really chunk it down the field. At the same time, if you're the Bills, how can you? I get why they're having a competition, because you want to quote have a competition, but who gives a crap? Like, you're giving it to EJ Manuel. He is going to start. He's going to win that competition. Period. Right?
Yeah. I think he was a 16th pick. I think that's when they took him. But right, yeah. He's the future.
But he's a first round pick. I mean, he was the first overall quarterback taken.
Yeah, even that's right. Yeah, I don't know. Kevin Cobb slipped on a mat, so maybe,
right.
maybe Doug Marrone made some promise to him when he signed him this offseason that he would get a chance to start, and this is part of that promise. I don't think at the end of the day it matters. This isn't even like a Jet situation where you put sacrificial lamb Mark Sanchez out there long enough to get Geno's confidence up. I think this is a situation where, all right, listen, we're done with the QB carousel. Ryan Fitzpatrick was the last one out to work out. The true captain checked down before him. What's his name? The guy from Stanford. I can't. Trent Edwards.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he redefined what it means to be captain checked down.
But Trent Edwards. Yeah. Trent Edwards is from Toledo, isn't he?
He went to Stanford.
No. Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Stanford. No, or Harvard.
Harvard. Come on.
Trent Edwards went to Stanford.
Come on, public school education. Keep up.
I just went to lowly NC State, man.
But, you know, the thing about Trent Edwards is he was a third-round pick, but Bill Walsh was huge, was a big Trent Edwards fan. And that,
Oh, I'm thinking of J.P. Losman. Sorry. Yeah, anyway.
He was Tulane.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Sorry.
Dayton, Tulane, whatever.
I said Toledo. Toledo, that's close.
But, right, J.P. Losman before
Trent Edwards. Yeah.
But, anyway, the bottom line is they've gone through a bevy of quarterbacks.
Since Jim Kelly, they've had nobody.
Right. And, Kelly Holcomb actually might be the best quarterback over that span, by the way.
Oh, my God.
We need to look that up. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. But anyway, yeah, enough with the carousel. You give it to EJ Manuel. You let him learn, because he's not going to learn anything on the bench other than Kevin Cobb is off.
You want to hear the list real quick?
Okay, so yeah, while we think about EJ Manuel's fate, what do we got?
Todd Collins, Alex Van Pelt, Doug Flutie, Rob Johnson. Doug Flute,
let me stop you real quick. So Wade Phillips was in Buffalo at that time, and he actually benched Doug Flutie. He was playing well to start Rob Johnson.
Yeah, it was the Music City Miracle.
That's right.
I was old enough to see things then.
Transplant worked out.
18, yeah. Van Pelt and Rob Johnson. Rob Johnson, Doug Flutie. Had Bledsoe for 3 years in the infamous trade following the
break. First-round pick.
Yeah. Then it was Losman or J.P. Losman he was a first rounder. God, so they traded for Bledsoe. It's just like, and then they drafted the worst quarterback in that draft, an admittedly bad draft.
Traded up in the first round to get him.
Yep. Then it had Holcomb start 8 games, Losman again, and then Trent Edwards and Losman went back and forth for 2 years. Then Ryan Fitzpatrick, Trent Edwards, and Brian Brohm traded some starts in 09 and 10, and then Fitzpatrick 11 and 12. I mean, it's...
I'm not kidding. I actually think Kelly Holcomb, based mostly on his play in Cleveland, might be the best of that bunch. And listen, you traded for Drew Bledsoe. It cost you first-round pick. And then you trade up in the first round a few years later to get J.P. Losman. I mean,
it was inexplicable that they did that, too. And remember, that was the draft where, you know, obviously we had Eli and Rivers and Roethlisberger.
Yeah. First
and
10
picks. He Losman is like the Brandon Whedon of that draft.
God, he would be.
You know what I mean, though? Like,
yeah. No, that's right. That's right. Yeah. But Whedon actually, you could argue, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at Lossman's numbers. But Whedon didn't have a truly horrible rookie season.
Losman went 22nd overall. They took him out of Steven Jackson. Whew.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. Here's the upside for EJ Manuel. The bar is set so unbelievably low that you should be able to not only win the job coming out of training camp, but expectations aren't very high. So if you make even marginal progress over the course of the year, that's a good thing going forward for the organization. I think Kevin Cobb is a backup. If you start him, you deserve what you get based on that name.
If you start Kevin Cobb and you're the Bills, you're basically saying, we're not trying to compete this year. And
it's just one more name to that awful list you just read.
Right. And I think the thing that they're probably doing, it's, you know, coaches these days, Pete Carroll is the king of it. Is the competition is key. You know, you got to actually, like, we're going to make him compete. We don't care if we signed him in free agency, you know, like the Matt Flynn thing. I think with Manuel and Cobb, what they're basically doing is saying, look, we're going to, you know, we gave, because Manuel started the first game, right? Against the Colts.
Yeah. Yep,
so we're going to give him one start. We're going to give Cobb one start. Then we're going to decide who our week three starter is, and that'll be our starter for the season. And lo and behold, I'm sure it'll end up being EJ Manuel.
Don't sell Jeff Toole short, the third stringer.
Good Never God. Heard. What's your over under for the Bills? I'm going to tell you what the over under is in a second. What's your ceiling for the Bills this year?
I bet the over.
You don't have to give me a win total. I'm saying what's your ceiling as far as what can happen.
Okay. I'm going to guess over under first. I'm going to guess it's like 6.5.
You nailed it. Are you looking at it? 6.5.
You could guess any year after the Jim Kelly era.
That's high most years.
I don't think that you just don't know what's going to happen with the quarterback. And that could be the difference between going 8-8 and 2-14.
Right.
You know.
Well, here's how I feel. I think I am supremely. I'm supremely confident. I am very much down on EJ Manuel being an immediate impact starter for the Bills and a guy that can turn that franchise around. Now, I'm willing to concede that I have been wrong lots of times before. And I will.
Yeah. Well, first, before you finish, you were wrong last year. I think I'll write down so I don't forget them. You were wrong last year during the preseason when you said that Andy Reid would get a pass because his son passed away.
That was training. Yeah. I didn't expect four wins.
Your albatross this year is going to be the 9-7 Browns. Okay, go ahead.
Well, that's fine. I don't mind that albatross. I just don't think that EJ Manuel is going to step in and be a good quarterback, and so, I just don't. I mean, like when I thought when they took him in the first round, it was an incredibly stupid pick.
But here's the thing. So let's say he struggles through the first 5 weeks. At what point do you turn to Kevin Cobb, or do you?
I don't think you do.
No matter how low, if he starts playing like Mark Sanchez, say weeks 5 through.
That's the thing. You can't bench him for non-injury once you start him. Once you start EJ Manuel, he's your first round pick. You're in, baby, as Costanza would say. I mean, so if you want to dabble in the Kevin Cobb business, and I don't recommend that, Mr. Marone, but if you want to mess around with that, you got to start Cobb out of the gates. And look, they got the Patriots and the Panthers at home, at Jets, Ravens at home, at Browns, Bengals at at Dolphins, at Saints, Chiefs at home, at Steelers, Jets at home, and then the bye in week 12. Where are they sitting? I mean, that's not like a...
There's absolutely no way they're winning four games by the bye week.
I would tend to agree with you. Because they're going to lose to the Patriots. They always manage to play the Patriots well, but the new regime, they're going to lose to the Patriots. I think they'll lose to the Panthers.
Yeah, you would think that. And that's fine. I mean, who knows? I will take Cam Newton or EJ Manuel if that's where the matchup starts.
I think that's where we're going here. I do like Stephen Gilmore. I think that defense should be better, but I don't know that it will be.
You like him so much you mispronounce his name, Stephon.
Stephon Gilmore, yeah. Stephen. He's from Rock Hill, South Carolina, man.
How do you get Stephen Urkel and Stephon?
I don't know how you get named Stephon in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Stephen.
Oh, is he from Rock Hill?
Yeah. That's why I'm surprised the Panthers didn't draft him.
Down the road a piece.
That's right, just a ways. So then at Jets, I mean, that's a coin flip.
The Jets might not have a team by that point. Who knows?
Right. They're going to lose to the Ravens at home. I think the Browns will beat them, obviously. They're going to lose to the Bengals at home. I'll give them a coin flip at Dolphins. At the Saints, they're going to get blown out. They will lose to the Chiefs at home. They will lose in Pittsburgh. And then they will beat the Jets at home.
But here's the thing. We shouldn't sleep on this defense. This defense actually is pretty good.
You mentioned Mario Gilmore.
I'd like to think Mario Williams will eventually play like Mario Williams is to play. But they have Kyle Williams, who's awesome. Marcel Darius should be really good. McKelvin's sort of a poor man's DRC, Dominic Rogers Cromartie. I don't know if that's a compliment or not. But Jairus Byrd. So I don't know. You know, the defense can do a lot, but the defense isn't scoring, like I said before, 21 points a game. So
I mean, that's the thing about this team. And then, like, you look at the offense. Eric Woods, a really good center. Cordy Glenn, kind of an underrated young left tackle.
Yeah.
Stevie Johnson, TJ Graham, Robert Woods, Marquise Goodwin, Derrick Rogers, who could surprise.
They have Robert Woods, too. I forgot.
Yeah, I mean, like, they are loaded with young talent at wide receiver. They have CJ Spiller at running back, who could be, like, an MVP, a sleeper MVP candidate this year.
Yeah. Give him the ball.
I think they will. They said he's going to give the ball to him, he pukes. It really all comes down to EJ Manuel.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think EJ Manuel is going to be good, so I have to say the Bills are going to lose these games. If you believe in EJ Manuel, then maybe you think Buffalo can get to 8-8 or better.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to watch them Friday. Maybe we'll change my evaluation. But on paper, they don't look very good. But again, they have a lot of pieces in place. They're just missing the biggest piece.
Yeah, and they've invested a first-round pick in it, so we'll see. We'll keep going in that awesome AFC East division. Geno Smith, speaking of cool quarterback battles, Rex Ryan comes out and says on Wednesday, you know, it's been a really chilly day, kind of like the offense, very chilly, very offense. How is Geno? Geno, brutal. He was brutal. Worst day he's had here. I feel like Rex Ryan has I feel like he is shifting on purpose this quarterback battle because he favors Mark Sanchez.
I think he's trying too hard. I think this is just kind of a smokescreen, something to divert us from maybe not talking about Mark Sanchez for a day, give Mark Sanchez a day off. I don't know if he likes Sanchez. Don't forget, well, he does have Mark Sanchez tattooed on his arm, but don't forget he threatened to bench Sanchez, I think it must have been 2 years ago now, because he was talking about starting Mark Brunell, and I guess that lit a fire under Sanchez and got going. Brunell back just to threaten him every week with if that's what it takes. But
I mean, he invested a top-five pick in him.
Doesn't matter. But, I mean, doesn't matter who the quarterback is.
No, hell no. They stink.
Let me ask you this. Is there any way Rex Ryan is the coach in January?
I'll say no. Again, I could be wrong. The only logic I have for Rex Ryan being the coach is that he goes 8-8 and wins the Coach of the Year award, because it would be I'm dead serious.
8-8 isn't going to get it done for Nitzak.
If he wins the Coach of the Year, how do you fire the Coach of the Year?
That's hilarious. He's going to be the first Coach of the Year to be fired for going 8-8.
You know what the over under on the Jets is.
It better be below 6.5. It better be like 3.5.
No, it's not. It's 6.5. It's even. But the Bills Bills are -140 to bet on the under. The Jets to bet on the under are -185.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that's like you. I mean, you're basically betting 2-1 on that under at 6.5. And that's they're not good. They can't be. They can't. they can't be good. No,
they are not good.
I will say, you know, I think they'll lose to the Bucs. I think Revis will score 14 points by himself in that game. They'll lose to the Patriots week 2. Maybe beat the Bills at home.
Tim Tebow will score 14 points.
That's right. It'll be such a blowout. But, oh, God. Bills, they might be able to beat the Titans. Then Falcons, Steelers, Patriots, Bengals, Saints into the bye. Woo!
And you don't know when Santonio Holmes is coming back.
Yeah, they're – you know, I look at their defense, and it stinks because they could actually be you know, a fairly decent defense.
Yeah, young and pretty good. Well, we don't know what D. Milner can do, but he's
But he doesn't have to step in and be the number one cornerback.
That's right. They have Antonio Cromartie, the money manager. They have Sheldon Richardson, who they just drafted. Mohamed Wilkerson is kind of a breakout guy. I don't know if Quentin Copeland did much last year. I don't know if he's going to do much this year, but he's another first-round pick. David Harris. So there's a lot to like in the defense.
Copeland came on strong at the end last year. I think he could end up having a decent, you know, he's playing outside linebacker, hybrid, whatever. I mean, he ended up with 5.5 sacks in 16 games and just 2 starts.
All right. Well, they got through to him. Good. Now they should focus those energies on finding a quarterback.
Yeah. And I'll point out, too, that so he had 2 sacks against the Colts in week 6. And then his other 3.5 sacks came in the last 4 weeks of the season.
All right.
So maybe. Against Jacksonville, Tennessee, and San Diego. So
they count.
Yeah, they did. That's right. Yeah, I'll take the under on the Jets. And again, like we've been saying, I don't really care either way whether it's Geno or Mark Sanchez. I think throw Sanchez out there, see if you sink. If you sink,
they'll sink,
and they'll sink, and then let Geno take it on home and ride off into the sunset or something like that. To your Steelers, we'll move out of that division. Before we get to your Steelers, let's talk about Jared Veld here, the left tackle for the Oakland Raiders. One of the better left tackles in the league, underrated, had beefed up this offseason, was heading into a contract year, was probably set to get real paid, torn triceps. Initial prognosis was that he was going to miss likely miss the entire year, maybe be on IR with designation to return. And now he might be back sooner than they hoped. Does it really matter?
Let me tell you this. Here's the deal. Do you know who the backup is behind Veld here on the depth chart?
No, I have no idea.
Alex Barron.
Holy crap.
So Veld here with one arm would be a better option than Alex Barron, who was last seen on a field 2 or 3 years ago holding for the Cowboys against the Redskins on a last-second play that ended the game for the Cowboys and lost.
That's right. They drafted Melinick Watson.
Yeah, he's back. According to the depth chart, he's the backup on the right side behind Cleve Barnes, and there could be some swapping positions.
They might have the revelation you had. Oh my God, we can't put Alex Barron in there. Let's just <That's> right. Let's say, well, right. Hell, Matt Flynn didn't cost nothing. Let's throw Melinick Watson out there and see what happens.
But look, this is actually an interesting point. I was talking to our buddy JJ Cooper about this, who works full time for Baseball America, but he loves offensive line play, and he works part-time for Football Outsiders, but we were talking about the Steelers, of course. He's a Steelers fan. And the Steelers' top six offensive linemen are pretty solid. From 7 to 10, absolute garbage. So one option is to wait until mass cuts at the end of August. There'll be a couple hundred offensive linemen looking for work. Sure. And just kind of pick through the garbage there. But look, there are plenty of teams that need offensive linemen backups. So it's not like the Steelers will have free reign on who they can sign. And the Raiders are a perfect example. So it's going to be, it's going to be a cat fight when it comes to the scraps too. So just goes to show that, it helps to develop these players in your system, pray they don't get injured and hope for things like not having to start Alex Barron.
Yeah. And Melinick Watson, again, project out of Florida State, probably not really what you want to roll into starting left tackle your first year. He's the guy I thought the Chargers should have taken instead of Manti Te'o.
Well, here's the thing. I was looking, our buddy Lance Zierling runs a sideline view, and I was looking on their side. They have the best available NFL free agents, and this is actually mind-boggling. This must be how, so much off-field baggage these guys have that they're not even getting any offers. Jared Gaither.
Gaither's he's got to be hurt, right?
He has to be because he's available. Jordan Black, is he hurt? Isn't that your boy, Jordan Black? Is he a former
Panther? I'm looking at this now. Jordan Black. No.
Jamal Brown. I think Jamal Brown's actually hurt. He's a former first-round pick, too. Winston Justice is...
God, Sean Locklear, man. How do you not have a job? Omi Yale? Wayne Hunter?
Wayne Hunter actually is pretty bad.
Yeah, he's terrible. Yeah.
But, there are guys that you think would be on rosters if not for off-field baggage. I think Brown, I've never heard anything off-field issues with him. It might be an injury situation. But, you look at if Alex Barron's a backup, how's Jared Gaither must just be off the charts hard to deal with.
Is he? How is Jared Gaither? Are we sure he's? How is he not employed?
Yeah, Adam Kaplan updated this on August.
Yeah, 15th, no, so. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. That's weird, though. I don't know. That's weird.
So, yeah, no, it just goes to show you that, more so now than before, I think, if you're crazy, that the NFL is less.
Gaither must still be hurt. But, yeah, you're right, and I think that's what it is, too, is, you got these guys out there in free agency right now. You got your camp rosters full. You know nobody's diving after them.
Yeah.
So here's the question. Do you give them something in this watered-down free agent market, or do you wait till guys flood on the market and then say, hey, Jared, we'll give you a one-year deal vet minimum if you want to come play, or you can sit at home. And we'll grab this other guy we won't even pay him that,
You know what we should do? We should make a starting lineup out of these best available offense and defense.
Right.
Not now.
Actually, no, that's not a bad idea. You know what else we should do is make a – no, if we did that now, we'd be here forever. We should do a starting offense out of defensive players.
I saw you mention that. Who's the quarterback?
No, she didn't say anything in campfire, did you? JJ Watt would he even play tight end, or would he be an offensive lineman, I think.
He'd be a running back. You're not going to waste his talents on the offensive line. He can't do anything in the offensive line. In defense, he can wreak havoc. But you make him a running back or a tight end. You put the ball in his hands, let him make something happen.
Really? You think so?
I mean, I don't think really you make him a fullback. But I think you make him a tight end. He's not going to do anything in the offensive line.
You're going to have to put defensive linemen on the offensive line.
Oh, you get the five fattest nose tacklers you can find. Say, stand in the way. For
That's right. who's your defensive quarterback? That's what I was trying to think of.
Oh, there must be so many guys that
because Patrick Peterson says he's top five wide receiver. He can play that.
Yeah, and all these guys play quarterback in high school. That's the thing.
Yeah, so that's true.
It'd probably be pretty easy to find a decent quarterback.
Do you think it would be easier to translate offense over to defense or defense over to offense?
Defense, offense. I mean, there's no position that a quarterback can play on defense. He's useless.
Cam Newton could play linebacker, pass rusher.
Yeah, and, Michael Vick could probably pick cornerback or something. But I'm thinking like Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. What are those guys doing?
Linebacker.
I don't even know what Ben Roethlisberger would play.
He's relatively
mobile.
I'm just laughing at like Tom Brady, like Peyton Manning playing middle linebacker.
Right. I mean, can you see those guys?
The point is like you wouldn't have like an Aaron Rodgers or Phillip Rivers or Brady or, Breeze or Manning.
You know what? Aaron Rodgers might be a safety because he's certainly athletic and he's a big guy. Try him like a free safety.
You're crazy, but you have like wide receivers at a free safety or something.
Yeah, that's true too.
Like Rodgers isn't nearly as fast as like
making my head hurt.
Like Randall Cobb.
Yeah, but that's why he's playing safety.
Yeah, that's true. All right, we'll move on from that. Anyway, but as I was pointing out, the Raiders. Just to wrap that up, the Raiders are they're 5.5 over under. I've never seen a bigger lock than that under.
Listen, I'm on record. This will be my 9-7 moment. I'm on record as saying that the Raiders will finish ahead of the Chargers in the AFC West.
Oh, that's fine. Well, you had the Colts last year. I thought you were going to say the Raiders are going to win.
They're going to go undefeated.
But I mean, they could sweep the Chargers and then win one more game and finish ahead of the Chargers.
Right. That's my
that could happen. So yeah, JJ Watt wants to play offense. They might use that Wisconsin package. We'll see. I don't think it's a terrible idea. I think it's kind of fun.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Yeah, right. If JJ Watt doesn't get hurt, no one cares. If JJ Watt blows out his knee, then you have a major problem.
And then Gary could be like Rex Ryan will be looking for work.
That's right. So back to the Steelers, as I mentioned before, Le'Veon Bell. I believe you mentioned to me before the podcast started that he has ascended to the top of the depth chart. Yes.
Yeah, it appears that he is code number one along with Isaac Redman at the running back position, which is – well, Tomlin's been saying all training camp that Le'Veon Bell's been dominating people. The one day I was there, he ran over cornerback Curtis Brown, absolutely blew him up. To Curtis Brown's credit, he went down and took Le'Veon with him, but he paid a price. But Bell didn't play in the first preseason game. He hurt his knee or something, but apparently he came back to practice the next day, and he's scheduled to play Monday night against the Redskins. And look, this is what the Steelers have been looking for. Their running game was one of the worst in the leagues last year. Le'Veon Bell, 6'3", about 230. I think he dropped a few pounds in between the draft and training camp. He's fast. He's actually has pretty quick feet. He's familiar with his zone blocking scheme, which he did some of at Michigan State. He can block and he can catch coming out of the backfield. Todd Haley's actually pretty excited about the fact that he could catch. So all reasons to like him. You just hope he stays healthy and he adds another dimension to the running game, which wasn't there last year. So,
yeah, he's I don't think he's necessarily like the best running back in this rookie class.
No, but he fits what they need. He's not Gio Bernard in terms of
right. He's kind of a bit of a plotter, but he can rumble over people.
Right.
And I think the Steelers are at the point where they just don't give a crap. They're going to give him 300 carries. Like they're not, they don't envision him as, 5 years from now, Le'Veon Bell is their bell cow back, right?
Yeah. I don't know what Todd Haley's plans are. I know that the organization, starting with the Rooneys up top, wanted to see more running.
Yeah.
And that was 2 years ago they made that comment. And, be careful what you ask for. The guy last year was a complete disaster. But, yeah, I mean, you have him there. You want to mix things up. And anything that makes makes it so that Roethlisberger takes fewer hits. That's a great thing. So Bell's successful, they'll keep pounding the ball. And we talked about Gio Bernard, the rookie from Cincinnati, who's, I describe him as kind of a mini Ray Rice. He has that potential. We don't know what he's going to be like.
Right.
But the Steelers, they signed Larod Stevens-Howling, the former Cardinal. He's like a third down back. But yeah. He started the first preseason game because of the injuries. And the guy looked good. And he's more of a scat back. And he'll probably be used as a third down and on returns if it gets to that. So, they have some kind of diversity in the backfield if that's what we're looking for. But, right, they don't have a home run hitter like a Ray Rice.
But they don't really care about a home run hitter. Obviously everybody would like a home run hitter. Everybody would like Ray Rice at the roster. But it's just not going to happen overnight. I mean, I just think Bell fits as like – they're like, look, we drafted this guy. He wasn't too pricey a pick. We're going to feed him the rock 350 times. And if his knee blows out in the Super Bowl, that's fine.
Yeah. I don't know if they
he's a fantasy player's dream.
Well, to put it in perspective, here's what Tomlin said about Willie Parker back in 2008. We're going to run him till the wheels fall off. And that's what happened.
Yeah. So,
Tomlin's not afraid to commit to the run if it's working.
I love that Tomlin can – like, could you say that in 2008? I mean, they said CJ, we're going to run CJ Spiller until he vomits. But, I mean, I feel like you couldn't – we're going to run him until his knee explodes is what he said about Willie Parker.
And he kept his promise.
Fast Willie was done case.
Yeah. I don't think anyone would argue with the move other than probably Jonathan Dwyer, who's – probably battling for a roster spot. He's the backup running back.
He was really good with Georgia Tech. And is no longer fat.
He struggled with his weight. He reported to camp this year in pretty good shape. But, what are you going to do? The running backs, as you kind of are alluding to, are dime a dozen. So you run one into the ground and you get another one. So
yeah, no, that's true. All right. Von Miller. Mr. Miller. Yeah. He got arrested in a gun shop.
I love that.
he didn't actually get arrested for being in a gun shop or anything he did in the gun shop. He was arrested on a failure to appear warrant while he was in the gun shop, which is somehow worse, right?
Yeah, I don't know how that came about. Like, was there an officer?
Not gun shop. It looks like gun club.
Oh, gun club. Okay, right. But still, there's some.
Is that like a hunting club? Like, is he sitting by the fire smoking a fine cigar and wearing like a?
I think Dale Gribble was a member of a gun club at one point.
I mean, my dad's the member of a gun club, but
yeah, so you know exactly what I'm talking about.
No, but a hunting club, not like Jimmy's Guns.
No, right. Yeah. No, it's where a bunch of old guys get together and probably play cards.
Yeah, that's a different ballgame.
I'm not sure why Von Miller was there, number one. Number two, I think this stemmed from unpaid parking tickets or something that happened back in October. Number three, this arrest is much less worse than the arrest of the two front office guys for the Broncos who were with their DUIs over the summer. One of which, did he crash into a cop car?
Yeah, one of them did.
Yeah. So, but still, I mean, it's the latest thing in the Broncos that the Broncos have to deal with that comes after Von Miller was suspended for four games for, do we even know what that was?
Von Miller has his hearing tomorrow is the worst part. So he's arrested Sunday.
He's not driving his own hearing.
No, he's not. It's Foxfield, four blocks from Miller's listed home address. It's called the Centennial Gun Club, all capital letters.
That sounds like what was it? What was he suspended for? Because they said it wasn't for the substance abuse.
But he's not. It's for The rumor, the rumor is that it's for marijuana and methamphetamines, but not performance enhancing methamphetamines.
No, no, not meth, just amphetamines.
No, not amphetamines, meth.
Oh, really?
No, it's the total rumor. Anybody that's listening, I assume I've said that enough, but I saw somebody was trying to report it was like Molly, like MDMA.
Oh, I see. Okay,
like ecstasy.
Oh, gosh. I thought you got mixed up because you were watching Breaking Bad. But no, you really mean that.
No. Yeah. No, like if he wasn't – because if you take amphetamines, that's like Adderall, right?
Right. Yeah. But that's on the banned substance list, right?
But if it's banned substance under the performance enhancing stuff. Adderall is
– right. Gotcha.
But it's one thing if you're getting messed up on Adderall and playing football. You're doing it to get better. But like if yeah. you're – if you're getting messed up on Molly, that's
That's a whole different issue.
That's a whole different ball
of... You have to meet with different people about
that. That's a whole different candy-coated ball of drugs.
Here's the thing. He got arrested at the gun club for something he forgot to take care of back in October. His hearing for the four-game suspension is scheduled for Thursday. So he'll probably have to talk to... I'm sure... I don't know if he meets with Goodell or not, but he'll have to talk with whomever he meets with about all the other ancillary stuff going on. So do you think he's going to play in the opener against the Ravens?
I'm oddly confident that he's going to get off this. Usually we don't see, I don't think, this sort of process play out this length of time with the player saying he's confident, et cetera, unless they are genuinely confident they can get off of it. I don't think Roger Goodell is going to, because it was egg on the face of the league that it leaked out, you know, that it was able to get out there and before the hearing. I mean, the NFLPA was obviously cheesed off. They've got this HGH agreement they're working on. A Von Miller suspension would be very bad. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets off of this. That's just my hunch.
Well, I hope he plays solely because they're playing the Ravens, but I don't know what's going to happen.
I think he gets off. But we'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go.
And usually, news leaked of the date of his hearing. Anytime you hear the date of his hearing, you know something's going to happen. I don't know. The NFL doesn't like losing these things, but I got a feeling he'll get off. I could be totally wrong, but we'll see.
Like you said, we'll find out in 24 hours.
That's right. We'll probably find out by the time most people are listening to this, which means we'll have to podcast again Thursday night. All right, last bit of business. We're done with the gun club, right?
Yeah.
God, go appear in court, though, people.
That I don't get.
Hard Knocks, Tuesday night, second episode. What'd you think?
I liked it. I hate the fact that the Hard Knocks is doing such a good job. They're making me like the Bengals. I tell you what, man, I'm a huge Marcus Hunt fan. I totally forgot they drafted
Oh, my God, he's awesome.
The Steelers, I think, had some interest in him. He's older. He came to football late.
Do I look like woman?
To be fair, his English is much better than that, but right. Yeah, he looks like a beast, too. The clips I showed in the preseason game with the Falcons, after you get warmed up, he looks like a handful. I mean, you think about – assuming he comes along in 2 or 3 years and you have Geno Atkins re-signed, you have Michael Johnson. Oh, jeez. That's
Johnson,
a nightmare.
Johnson, they're probably going to let go. I don't think they can afford Johnson. They already signed Dunlap, and obviously they're going to pay Geno. But, but either way, they're building a really good defense there.
Yeah. You know, and they have – they already have Leon Hall. Who did they draft this year in the first round?
Eifert, and then they got Giovanni Bernard in the second round. I mean, right. Their offense is – one replacement of Andy Dalton short away from being amazing.
Well, that's the thing. It's sort of like a upscaled version of the Bills we were just talking about. They have a lot of good pieces, but clearly you'd rather have Andy Dalton than EJ Manuel at this point. But I've said it.
But you might not in a year from now.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if Dalton is capable of doing what he should be doing when the game is on the line. Well, maybe gets to that point. I don't know.
He's like not. I mean, he might be able to. I mean, like, look, guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, when they came into the league, didn't have the same arm strength they have now.
Yeah.
Guys develop arm strength.
Yeah, I'm less concerned about the physical as I am the mental pressure.
The willingness to make the throws.
Yeah. But I will say this about the episode two. I thought it was hilarious that the first time you see James Harrison warm up is when Terrence, what's his name, the Terrence Stevens, the nose tackle, is singing.
Was it Barry White?
Maybe. I don't remember. I mean, he did a great job. But James Harrison, you finally see him smile and act like a human, which I found pretty.
I know our boy Breach, who's a – I don't know if you know this. Breach is a big Bengals fan.
John Breach is a recently hired – he writes with us on the Ion Football blog.
Don't people know that? I guess not.
I don't know. His dad was Jim Breach, which is the best thing that John Breach can say about himself.
This is where we find out if he listens to the podcast. Yeah, Stevens apparently tried out for American Idol, too.
Yeah, he was good.
Did you know that? Or did you actually read Breach's post?
No, I saw the headline. But then I saw the headline before I watched the episode. So I was impressed.
Yeah, he sang "Ain't Too Proud to Beg" over my head. Questionable. But yeah, he made James Harrison smile. Why does Harrison hate Hard Knocks so much?
I don't think he likes the intrusion. And I know that he was peculiar with the media for the longest time in Pittsburgh. And our buddy Jim Wetzel, who writes for Steel City Insider and has been a Steelers beat reporter for years, wrote a really awesome piece when Harrison was finally released about how good he was as a Steeler. And, you know, Harrison sort of warmed up to him over the course of his time there. But he said
probably Wetzel was cool with him on the off the record and et cetera, I assume.
But Wetzel even said, I'm still pretty sure that James Harrison has no idea what my name is. And he saw him every day for, 7 years.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but that's the kind of guy. He said he was like, he was just weird about certain things. But he actually was legitimately, he was a solid guy. But it took a while to get past what you see on television, which is pretty scary.
Oh, yeah. No, that is funny. He sang the Carpenter song. Don't forget. I can't sing it, but
from Tommy, that reminds me.
Don't you forget you told me you love me, baby.
Oh, yeah, that's a Carpenter song?
From the Tommy Boys, remember? Or Tommy Boy, he's like, the Carpenters. Yeah, I hate that song.
If
me too.
That kind of little code I would remember. Yep.
Yeah. And then apparently he did that duet of End of the Road. So that stuff's like entertaining, but God, wouldn't it be all? I mean, like, if it wasn't HBO, HBO and NFL Films do such a good job, like, You even watched they're practicing on like an anthill covered field, and like you could watch.
Wait, what is that all about? These guys, this is a billion-dollar industry, and that's the best the Falcons could come up with, or whoever was in charge of finding the walkthrough field.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. But were the Falcons on there too, or is it just the Bengals?
No, it was near the Bengals resort. I don't know why. I don't understand. It was a weird whole setup. I will say this. I think.
But what I'm saying is, like, did the Bengals walk to? Did the Falcons go on that field too? I can't remember.
No.
Right, but so the Falcons were like, "Yeah, here's your field, Bengals."
Right. Yeah. It was all very weird. But
go ahead.
I was going to say during the preseason game when Mike Zimmer is absolutely unloading on the fifth team, that guy's
a nut job.
But I think he deserves a head coaching job. I'm just afraid that he would blow a gasket at some point if he were in charge of the whole thing.
Well, everybody that you talk to and everything you hear about Zimmer is everybody agrees. Guy deserves a head coaching job. He gets looks, and he's just too honest in the interviews.
Right,
that's the problem.
That's right. And you can see that he probably goes in there with a lipper in too.
Yeah, he's like, what a beep beep beep. He's just, I mean, like, he makes Rex Ryan look like the etiquette lady.
That's right, yeah. Church lady.
Yeah. I mean, he drops, people were getting on Rex Ryan for all his F-bombs. His were kind of showmanship-y. I mean,
really, the one about eating a snack was the showmanship?
No. He's a goddamn, too, I think. He was eating a snack. That wasn't. But it was the excessive F-bombs maybe were. I mean,
yeah.
If you filmed a reality show in my house, I mean, there'd be, there'd be some F-bombs, too. But Zimmer is just... like every other word is an F-bomb.
No, you actually take notice if he's not cursing. That's when you kind of stick your head up and go, wait, what's going
on? Yeah, it's like, is Zimmer on? Does he think he's not on camera now? Yeah, he's too loose. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that was cool about. It was a little weird seeing the Gruden. Oh, the Gruden montage was awesome.
That story John Gruden told about his brother and racing around the yard was a fantastic story.
I like the part where they go, you might not be able to tell. It's like, zebra, zebra, foxtrot, foxtrot. And they just sound exactly alike.
When they first hired, what's his name, Jay Gruden,
yeah.
I didn't think he looked at all like his brother. But after two episodes, not only does he look like his brother, he sounds exactly like him. He has the same mannerisms. I didn't know that he played in the Arena League. But
I mean, I would watch a show solely about
the Grudens.
The Grudens just like talking smack to each other. Speaking of talking smack... Orson Charles is getting he's got his face cracked on by Hugh Jackson.
Wow, Hugh Jackson's checking Twitter or whatever he's doing, like totally ignoring the guy.
Yeah, he's like, listen, you suck, dude, and check it. Yeah, I joked on Twitter if I was sitting there and Hugh Jackson said something to me, I'd just look at him and go, Carson Palmer.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
And he'd be like, what? I was like, Carson Palmer. Like, what the hell are you talking about, boy? Carson Palmer. Beep. Until he just lost it. I mean,
and that's why you're not Orson Charles.
That's right. Well, Orson Charles, remember, he got arrested for DUI right before the.
Oh, that was Orson. He seemed like a decent kid. He seemed like he was trying. He certainly didn't him and haw when Hugh Jackson was in his ear. So
well, he got hosed because they drafted. They had Gresham. They drafted. You know, last year they grabbed him, and then they get Eifert, so he's basically done as a tight end, although you'd think you'd kind of want some backups there. He was good at Georgia, man.
No, I'm sure he was, and it's going to be tough to play fullback, especially with John Connor or the other fullback you're competing against, because he's a proper fullback, and he blows people up. But, you know, hey, it's all part of the drama.
Well, yeah, it was kind of weird. Like, Hugh Jackson's, he's like, why can't you – he's like, what's wrong with you? You haven't learned how to play fullback in 2 days? What's wrong with you? God damn, dude.
Look, I got to check Facebook. Get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, that's – all right, well, give me one player to watch from each team. Panthers, Eagles. We got preseason games coming up Thursday. Then we got another set Friday, big set Saturday, one game Sunday. Thursday games, Panthers, Eagles. What are you looking forward to in that game?
Ugh, nothing. I'm not watching that game.
Come on, man.
You know, it'll be interesting to see what Chip Kelly does with the offense in week two, if anything. You know, are we going to see more of his fast-paced style that we didn't see a lot of in week one? You know, it'll be the whole Vic Foles Barkley situation. Who are the pass catchers going to be? How long will Riley Cooper make it before he says something he shouldn't? The Panthers. I'll let you talk about the Panthers because
Josh Norman. Do you see that? Do you see that post I put? I had him in the stock watch.
Yeah, he's actually a second year player, by the way. Someone pointed that out. In the
comments. No, but I wasn't. Did you see what I wrote?
No, I just saw the comments.
I'm guessing
he was in the practice squad or something.
No, it's not rookie stock watch. That was Desk that did that.
Oh.
Yeah, like that's how I read it in comments. I was like, it's not rookie Stockwatch. They messed it up. It's Stockwatch. And then discussion, there's some rookies involved here. So, like, it reads rookies in the front page. Then you click through. And I didn't tell them to change it.
Okay. So, anyway, yeah, you like the...
Yeah, I know Josh Norman's a second-year player. He's a fifth round pick two years ago. Two interceptions. Really nice pick off Jay Cutler. Jumped the route that Brandon Marshall was running. You could good vision, good quickness, and I thought he had two picks in that game, and then had a sick one-handed catch in practice recently.
Yeah, I saw that. That was nice.
Yeah, so I'd like to see how he does. Probably matched up against DeSean Jackson, who's a very quick, smallish. I mean, if Norman can come along and turn into something resembling a QB 1.5, the Panthers could be dangerous.
Who's QB?
I mean, cornerback 1.5.
Oh.
I don't expect him to turn into, like, a shutdown corner overnight. I mean, he's a fifth-round pick.
He's got 2 days, like Orson Charles.
Yeah, he's good. He's out of Coastal Carolina.
Next. All right, Falcons and Ravens. What are you looking?
What Joe Flacco? Ravens, depending on how much Joe Flacco does, I want to see what he has in terms of, like, short yardage weapon and third down weapon. Cause I really
Clark and Brandon Stokely.
That's exactly. I want to see what he has with a third down weapon. So that's what I'm looking for. I think the Ravens defense is going to be much better this year.
Joe Flacco says that. I don't know why you guys keep saying that. You've been beating the drum. They have Chris Canty. They have, who's the other fat guy?
They added Doomerville.
Doomerville.
Terrell Suggs is going to be healthy.
Yeah.
Arthur Brown.
Who?
Arthur Brown is the Kansas State linebacker.
So we don't know what he's going to do. Arthur Brown's also very light. I don't know if he can handle it.
Matt Elam might be better than Ed Reed.
We don't know what he can do. So, right, we have to see. But who they draft, Courtney Upshaw this year. So, you know, hopefully he'll continue to progress.
Yeah.
They signed another big guy in the middle. I can't remember who it is now. A former kind of big name. But I don't know. There's a lot of questions at linebacker.
I'm not saying they're going to come out and be like the 0-1 Ravens. Marcus Spears.
Marcus Spears. That's right. That's the other big guy.
Yeah, but they got. I think Ladarius Webb is coming back from injury. I don't think they're going to be like 2001 Ravens or anything. I just think
better than last year.
Last year's unit. People don't get this. The Ravens weren't that good last year.
I got it, and they still won 10 games and won the Super Bowl.
But you know that they weren't that good, right?
Yes, but I mean, they were good enough.
They got hot at the right time. That's all that matters. They got in the playoffs. They limped in the playoffs, but their defense wasn't great. They had a bunch of old people.
That's right. If you remember that Texas game, they got absolutely steamrolled.
Handed it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't disagree.
They were losing to the Chargers before that miracle play. They scored 9 points. I mean, they're just not that. They just weren't that good a team last year, but they got hot at the right time. So, I mean, I'm not taken
by
away.
By the way, that team also lost to Charlie Batch.
Yeah, man. That defense lost to Charlie Batch. Exactly. That says enough.
In Baltimore.
So what do you want to see from the Falcons?
I don't know. Steven Jackson stays healthy. Matt Ryan's going to be Matt Ryan. Tony Gonzalez hasn't showed up yet. Weatherspoon's back. You know, they have Trufant. Maybe that's worth watching.
Yeah, I'd like to see those rookies in the secondary.
Yeah. Trufant and Alford, the two rookie cornerbacks, yeah. I think first and third round picks. So,
Chargers, Bears. Will Phillip Rivers die?
That's right. The offensive line, I'm sure Malcolm Floyd isn't playing. I don't know what the second opinion was, but it sounds like he's out till week one.
Yeah.
They already lost Denari Alexander, and then it'll be whether Vince Brown and all these young guys can play. Robert Meacham, everyone doesn't like. Who's the other guy they don't like? Oh, no, Keenan Allen's the first
Keenan,
round.
But he's failed in the third round because he had knee problems.
That knee problems, quote unquote. The Bears.
No, that's what he had. Knee problems.
How long until Jay Cutler punches Mark Trestman? You know, they probably have offensive line issues, too. We haven't talked about this just because we don't talk about the Bears a lot, but they traded, what's his name, the former first-round pick to the Bucks. What's that guy's name?
Gabe Creamy.
Gabe, that's right.
And Jamarcus Webb just got demoted.
So, I mean, look and listen, Jonathan Scott, I think Jonathan Scott plays for the Bears still.
Yeah.
He was the left tackle for the Steelers 3 years ago, and easily one of the worst starting left tackles in the league. And now this goes back to our conversation earlier. Offensive line is, there's a lot of demand for it and not much in the way of supply. So, and Jay Cutler's not afraid to take a beating, much like Phillip Rivers. Right. So this could be a sack fest for the first two or three series before they get these guys out of there.
Well, what concerns me about the Bears, they're like, oh yeah, we handled this. We took care of all our issues. We signed Jermon Bushrod, Matt Slauson, and we drafted Kyle Long. So nothing to see here. Our offensive line will be fine. No, not at all. Like, Jermon Bushrod wasn't that great. He had two really good guards. You know, obviously Ben Grubbs is there, and he had Drew Brees. So of course he looked good at left tackle. I mean, wasn't that great? Matt Slauson, all right, at guard. Kyle Long is just a raw rookie. And now you have, you know, Mike Wright.
Super raw. Yep.
Super raw, yeah. Yeah, Mike Wright of ESPN Chicago is reporting that the recent demotion of Jamarcus Webb is a planned move to get him more reps on the second team, is what the Bears said, but signs what? Point to the switch becoming more permanent. Poimanent. With the Bears set to host San Diego on Thursday, rookie fifth-round pick Jordan Mills is slated to start in Webb's right tackle spot.
So he's the guy we should look for Cutler to be slapping around.
Of a sudden, you drafted Kyle Long as a guard in the first round, and you're starting a fifth-round pick at right tackle. Jay Cutler's going to get his face planted by Dwight Freeney, I guess.
And the worst part, and I'm not a Jay Cutler fan by any stretch of the imagination, is that all this upheaval in the offensive line means he's definitely not getting paid at the end of the year when his contract is up.
Which is maybe not bad for him. Or maybe not bad for the Bears. It's obviously bad for him.
Yeah.
So listen, I want to see both offensive lines play.
So do those coaches.
Los Matadores. Lions.
Lions and Browns.
I just want to know how many games the Browns will win tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I'm going 9-7 in the preseason.
God, I hate you. The people like we're running it on the front of the site. It's like Brinson says Browns go 9-7.
I love that. I put it in the headline, but I didn't mention you by name. But someone, I guess, either listened or read
some a-hole who didn't listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
And clearly isn't going to listen to this one. But published Brinson thinks Chargers. Wilson thinks Chargers win AFC.
I know, right?
I'm going to post it, yeah.
Is Trent Richardson playing? I don't know
if
he's back yet.
Yes, he is.
Okay. So he's playing. Look, they have a lot of offensive weapons, potential offensive weapons. Josh Gordon, Greg Little, who sort of needs to come on. They have Devon Best. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Ray Horton's defense.
Ray Horton's defense. I mean, they have a lot of young guys that can play.
Mingo,
yeah. No, that's right. Who did the Lions draft? They drafted
Ziggy Ansah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Mark Sanchez is a buddy. So, yeah. No, see what that Lions defense does, because they have to improve if the Lions have any chance to be better than a same.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I'm not going to watch. I'm not watching any of these games.
No, Lions-Browns is not on the it's never been a game you want to watch. Probably never will be.
San Diego-Chicago will be on ESPN at 8. I'm actually working Thursday night, so I will be watching these games.
But there you go. That'll be fun for you.
Yeah.
And we'll be back to probably talk about Von Miller and some of those preseason games later on in the week. In the meantime, subscribe via iTunes. For Ryan Wilson, I am Will Brinson. See you.